Beloved congregation of the Lord, this afternoon we come to the final sermon in a series that we've been having on the Reformed order of worship. And it's nearly 3 months ago that we had the first sermon on this, where we thought about these words, our help is in the name of the Lord. And then the next week we went on to the greeting where God comes to us every worship service and says, grace to you and peace. And what a marvelous greeting it is. Then we considered together the singing in the worship service and how we sing the psalms here. And then we thought about reading the law and the confessions. And we heard that the law is God's word to us. And when we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed, that's our word to God. Then we thought about prayer and the worship service. And we considered tithing, giving our gifts for the causes of the kingdom and going beyond tithing. Then we considered God's word in the worship service. And last Sunday, our godly behavior in God's house. Today, we're going to deal with the benediction at the end of the worship service. And our text this afternoon comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. You know, Numbers 6 is one of those chapters. When you begin to look at it, you begin to read it, you're tempted to skip it. You say, what does this Nazarite business have to do with any of us today? How does that relate to our life today? But if you make the mistake of saying, oh, well, we'll just skip chapter 6 and go on, you will miss the last verses of chapter 6. And there are verses we hear every Sunday. Number 6, verses 22 to 27. God's word. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So our theme this afternoon is the benediction. First of all, it's command, then it's content, and finally, it's confirmation. So it's command. Who tells us we have to do this? Let's hear it. There are several benedictions in the scriptures, but we're focusing on this one, the most famous one. A benediction is someone pronouncing a blessing at the conclusion of a religious service. And here in this command for the benediction, verses 22 and 23, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. We have four main characters. And the first character is the Lord, the I am that I am, the unchangeable, faithful, covenant-keeping God. That's the first character. And then there's Moses. Moses, who is the mediator of the old covenant. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the spokesman for Jehovah God. 99 times in the Bible it says the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses was to speak to the people. So the Lord in the Old Testament spoke to his people through his servant Moses. In the New Testament, he speaks to us through Jesus and the disciples and the apostles in the written word and the preached word. So you have the main character, the Lord. Then there's Moses. Then we have Aaron and his sons, the priests of Jehovah. And their main work would be to sacrifice and to intercede and to bless God's people. And these priests are also types of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the great high priest in the New Testament. So the Lord, Moses, Aaron and his sons, and then the children of Israel. God's chosen Old Testament people, Abraham's seed. And in the New Testament, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are called Abraham's offspring. So that fourth character includes us today. And the command comes by means of spoken words. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. So God communicates in the Old Testament and in the New by means of his words. Faith comes by hearing, remember? And hearing by the word of God. So we see the order: the Lord, Moses, Aaron and his sons, and the people. And what does the Lord tell Moses to say to Aaron and his sons that they must say to the people? He says, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them. So the Lord gives very detailed directions, and that's always clearly in the word of God. This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. It's not up to Aaron and his sons to make up their own blessing. No, this is how I, Almighty God, command you to bless my people. And the same is true today. It's not up to preachers just to make up their own message. No, Jesus says, this is what you shall speak, or this is how you shall bless. This is how you pray. Now, boys and girls, imagine Moses going to his brother Aaron and his nephews, Eleazar and Ithamar, and saying to them, men, listen carefully. The Lord says, this is how you shall bless my people. Make sure you do it right. And you can be sure that Aaron and his sons listened very carefully, because they remembered Nadab and Abihu, their brothers. And Nadab and Abihu, you remember, had disobeyed God and had brought strange fire to the altar. And we read in Numbers 3 that Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord. So Moses and his two Aaron and his two remaining sons are listening very carefully to Moses here. So that's the command. It comes from God Almighty through Moses to Aaron to the people. And then its content. What does it actually say? Aaron and his sons went to bless the children of Israel, and they said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What does all that mean? Well, before we go into any details, let's notice something here. Three times the name of the Lord is mentioned, speaking to us, reminding us of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the covenant God. And in Hebrew, this blessing is three sentences. You have one sentence, and then the second one is longer than the first, and the third one is longer than the second. It's like an ever greater, fuller, richer blessing. Every statement builds on the one that comes before it, and it is expanding. And six times, the people are addressed personally. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And every time the Lord's name is mentioned first, the Lord is giving and the people are receiving. The Lord bless you. What an amazing statement. The Lord bless you. The Lord prosper you. Cause good to come to you. That can mean in outward ways, supplying all your needs. It's true today. No one here is lacking the necessities of life. We've all had food today. We are amongst the top 10% wealthiest people in the whole world, we heard at the youth camp this past week. But think now about how the Lord blesses us spiritually. Supplying all our spiritual needs. Do you still believe that? See in our families the blessings of Bibles. Parents who teach us to pray. Most of us have been blessed with a Christian education, either at school or at home. We have a loving church family. We have the gospel proclaimed to us every Lord's Day. We have our health, we have our food, we have our houses. See our congregation. Just this one local church here. The Lord gave us this building. It's paid for. And we get to meet here in peace. And the Lord brings his word every Sunday. He has not left us over to ourselves. You know that there are numerous good books available for you to read here in a little library just around the corner here? Are you ever reading them? Do you ever take them up? Oh, what rich blessings we have. The psalmist says, "The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion." So that benediction is an Old Testament institution, but it's carried over into the New Testament. And the greatest example of carrying it over is the Lord Jesus himself. Think about when he ascended into heaven. He led his disciples out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it happened while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now the words of the blessing there are not mentioned. But imagine if it was this blessing. Jesus, as he's ascending up into heaven, raises his arms and says to his disciples, "The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you." What a blessing that is. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord watch or preserve you. This has to do with God's covenant dealings with his covenant people. It says that our God is like a shepherd, keeping watch over his flock by night, watching over them, keeping them safe, preserving their life. And isn't it true when you read the Old Testament record how the Lord kept Israel safe in the wilderness? And he keeps his people safe today. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." And that keeping of God's people is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophet says that God says to Jesus, "I have called you in righteousness, and I will keep you, and I will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Peter writes that believers are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Jude says, only God is able to keep you from falling. Now think back. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. What is the face of God? God is a spirit. We cannot see his face, but the face of God, that phrase is the personality of God turned towards man. Three times in Psalm 80, the psalmist cries out, "Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." And Daniel prays, "Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate." The Lord's blessing goes with his face shining on us. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 21, "You have made him exceeding glad with your face. And the Lord be gracious to you." The Lord show favor to you. Oh, this graciousness of the Lord that speaks of redemption from our enemies, from evil, from sin. Gracious. The root word is grace. Undeserved kindness from God to sinful people. It's first mentioned of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Gracious is one of the attributes of the Lord himself in the Old Testament. That's one of the names he gives himself. Gracious. In Exodus 34, where Moses asks to see the glory of God, and you read, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious.'" That is our God, merciful and gracious. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus spoke gracious words on this earth. Everyone bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Peter tells us that believers have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God's grace comes to us in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That Hebrew word countenance is the same word as face in the previous verse. And this gives us a clear picture of how the Lord deals with his people. It's like a smile from one person to another. To look upon someone with favor. The Lord looks with favor on his people. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. That's what we long for. And we sing in Psalm 42, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. How is it possible for a holy, righteous God to look in favor on sinners like us, like me, like you? Paul writes, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how that's possible. Only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ can we receive a look of favor from God instead of condemnation. A look of favor as from a friend instead of from a stranger. And finally, and the Lord give you peace. And that carries the meaning of all of God's peaceful thoughts towards his people. It's the Hebrew word shalom, peace with God, especially in covenant relationship. In Psalm 29, the psalmist says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Isaiah says, my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. And it's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. As John writes, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And this peace is not just the absence of enmity and the absence of war and the absence of unrest. No, this is truly peace with God and resting in him. It's the opposite of conflict, and it is found only in Christ Jesus the Lord. Isaiah told of him, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Of his peace there shall be no end. Paul writes, now the God of peace be with you all. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. How can God possibly pronounce such a blessing on his sinful, idolatrous, doubting people? How can that be? We are blessed, beloved, because the Lord Jesus Christ was cursed in our place. I read several years ago in Table Talk magazine this. On the cross, beaten and torn, abandoned by God and by his friends, the weight of our sins on his shoulders, Christ received the opposite of our benediction. The Lord curse you and forsake you. The Lord turn his face away from you and condemn you. The Lord pour out his just wrath upon you and give you hell. That's what Christ received instead of the benediction. So that every Lord's Day afternoon, we may receive his benediction. That is the grace of God. So we've heard it now of the command of the benediction. the content of the benediction, and now the confirmation. We need to ask a question at some point. What is really happening at the end of the worship service when the pastor raises his arms and pronounces the blessing? Is he saying, Jehovah blesses you in every aspect of your being, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Or is he saying, may Jehovah bless you as a wish that he hopes will come true? Or is the pastor praying for this blessing? Is it true only for believers? Does it mean exactly the same thing to everyone who hears it? The Hebrew uses singular. The Lord bless you, each one, individually. And the way it's written, all these sayings come in imperative. They are commands, like used in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord teaches us to pray, to say to Him, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Those are sorts of commands that we make to God. And when the Lord uses it, when He says, my son, give me your heart, it is really a command. But when the Lord commands us to use it, then it is more than a prayer. There's a promise to the prayer. Children, have you ever thought, your parents ever talk about this, when the benediction is pronounced? At the end of the worship service, before we go out the door, just before we leave the house of God and we return to the world and to our homes and to our farms and to our work and wherever it is we're going, that's when we hear those words from God. And Luther wrote this, the desire of the blessing is that the Lord God will lift up the light of His word on us and so keep it over us that it may shine in our hearts with strength enough to overcome all the opposition of the devil and death and sin and all adversity and terror and despair. So Luther said, we are expressing our desire for these blessings. Others said, the great formula of the blessing, the benediction, was primarily a prayer for the Lord's presence and grace and keeping power. So they said, it's not just expressing our desire, it's really a prayer. And Calvin said, it's worthy to remark that the priests are commanded to pronounce the form of benediction audibly. And so we gather that they preached God's grace, which the people might apprehend by faith. But which is it? Is it just a desire? Is it a prayer? Or is it preaching God's grace, a means of grace? Well, actually, it's all three. We are expressing our desires, aren't we? That the Lord would bless us. And we are praying for this blessing, and it is a means of grace. Keep in mind, beloved, that the priest in the Old Testament and the pastor in the New Testament can really do no more than pray for this blessing. So in reality, it is a prayer, carrying with it a promise. The Old Testament priest and the New Testament pastor, both ordained by God, pronounce it as one who has authority from God. But we need to take a closer look at verse 27, which most of us do not read often, because most of us don't read to the end of Numbers chapter 6. Here's what verse 27 says, immediately after the benediction. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel. When the priest pronounced the blessing of Jehovah to the people, they were putting the name of Jehovah on those people. Same thing happens when we're baptized. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have His name put on us. Some people think that's the only time that the Lord's name is put on them is at their baptism, but it actually happens every Sunday with the benediction. What do you do with the benediction? Have you ever really heard it? Or are you thinking of getting out of here? When I was a boy and a teenager, that's what it meant to me. Good, now we can go home and we can get away from here. Does it leave you cold? Is it just another part of the worship service? Same old, meaningless words? Or do you need to hear the benediction? Is that what you're here for? To hear the benediction? Can you live without God's blessing you and keeping you? Can you live without God's face shining on you? Can you live without God's graciousness? Don't you need God's peace in your soul? Can you go back home, back to work tomorrow, back to your family, back to your friends, without the benediction of the Lord? Have you ever prayed the benediction as it's being pronounced? Have you ever sat there and said, "Oh Lord, yes, bless me indeed with your grace in Christ Jesus the Lord. Yes, Lord, make your face shine on me like the sun shining so I can feel the warmth of your presence in my life. Yes, Lord, please be gracious to me. I need your grace, your undeserved kindness. I am such a sinner. Lord, give me your peace. Not the peace of the world. That's of no benefit to me. But your peace. Give me the Prince of Peace. Give me this Jesus." That's what the benediction is. You see the promise at the end of verse 27? You know, it would be so beneficial for you if you all kept your Bibles open during the sermon. Then you could see that I'm not just making this stuff up. It really says this. The end of verse 27. "They shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Jehovah God says that. Imagine Aaron and his sons, after the sacrifices were made, and they stand in front of all the people and they lift up their hands and they pronounce the blessing. And they address each Israelite gathered there, "The Lord bless you." Now, do you think all those people listened in the same way? Did they all embrace and receive the blessings of the Lord? Did they all go home in peace? Did they all receive eternal blessings from the Lord? And so are they all now head for head in heaven? You don't need to read very far in Numbers to find out that that's not true. In Numbers 16, we read of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the Lord's name was put on them too. The Lord said to them too, "The Lord bless you and keep you. And I will bless them too," the Lord said. And yet, number 16, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah with all their goods. Why is it that some were under that blessing every time and yet not blessed? Why is that? Why is that here too? Why is it that all of us every Sunday afternoon are under that blessing and some of us leave here not believing it? It is because the benediction must be received by faith. All the Israelites received the same blessings in the wilderness. But we read in 1 Corinthians 10, with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Though they all received the same blessing, such rich blessings. All of them had the Lord's name placed on them every time the sacrifice was offered. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's also how we leave this place, with the Lord's name upon us. And yet with many of them, God was not pleased. Must it be said of us too, that with many of us, God was not pleased? What is it that caused God to be displeased with these people? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Yes, Jehovah had said to each of them, "And I, Jehovah, will bless them." And yet instead of embracing that blessing, they lusted after evil things. Instead of believing, they doubted and they lusted after evil things. Instead of trusting the Lord in the benediction, they lusted after evil things. They didn't believe God when he said, "And I will bless them." And so they didn't have that peace in their hearts. "There is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked." The benediction is a gospel promise of God to be received by faith. And if we do not receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, every time we've heard it is going to testify against us. Every time. This is the conclusion of this series. Much more could have been said, much more could be said. But if there's one thing that we've learned, I hope, is that all of the worship service is to be to the glory of God. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be exalted, and we are to worship the Lord decently and in order, because we serve a God who is a God of order. And in Hebrews 10, the apostle writes, "Let us consider each other to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting each other. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." There we are commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When at all possible, be here. As a member of this church, you belong here for every worship service. I know there are exceptions. I understand that. But God commands us to be here. And yet, even if you're here for every single worship service and you do not believe, you do not even believe the benediction, then your whole worship service is an act of sin. Because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Oh, we must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit means it's a spiritual matter. It's not just outward actions. And in truth means that it is done according to the word of God. But Jesus said to the woman at the well, that without grace, you worship you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. Beloved, we all need the Holy Spirit for all of life, and especially including the worship service. We confess in one of our confessions that God will give his grace and spirit only to those who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Is that you? Are you sincerely asking the Lord for His grace and for His Holy Spirit? When you are, He will give them. We need to remember it with all the photos, with all telling the Lord how our help is in Him, and with all the greetings, grace to you and peace, and with all our singing of the Psalms and doing it right, and with all our tithing and giving our gifts and the confessions, and having the name of the Lord put on us every Lord's Day, unless we are found in Christ by faith, we can and will go lost. And that is a sobering and sombering thought. On the other hand, when we receive the benediction by faith and we believe it as gospel truth, then we receive the blessing of the Lord indeed. And then we truly go in peace. Peace with God through Jesus Christ, and peace with our neighbor through Jesus Christ. In closing, I just want to say a few things to the children yet. Children, you've heard a lot of things about the worship service. And then maybe some of these things are really hard to understand, but you've been here every Sunday. And in many ways, you participate in the worship service like the rest of us. And you receive the same greeting of the Lord. Children are addressed too. You sing praise to the Lord. You're with us in prayer. You hear the same sermons as your mom and dad. And you also leave at the end of every Lord's Day with the Lord's name on you. It's the last thing the Lord says to us before we leave here. So when you leave today and in the future, remember, the Lord has spoken to you today. And the last thing the Lord did was to have His servant, your pastor, put the Lord's name on you. That's amazing. And then the Lord said, "And I will bless them," including the children. Oh, then pray on the way home. Oh, Lord, for Jesus' sake, please bless me too. And remind yourself and remind each other, we have the Lord's name on us. Not only when we were baptized, but when we went home from church today and last Sunday and the Sunday before. This is why the Apostle Paul writes things like this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Sometimes in the worship service, isn't it true, we have the sense that it's like we were in heavenly places today, because the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up, and all our attention was drawn to Him. If your attention during these sermons has been drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for sinners like you and me, then the Lord has blessed this series of sermons for all of us.